This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, إِنَّا لَنَنصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. That indeed we will give victory to our messengers and to those who believe in this world and on the day where they will bear witness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He said that indeed it is incumbent upon us to give victory to the believers. We read these verses, a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will give victory to the believers. But this promise of victory is not unconditional. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ قَاتَلُكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوَلَّوُ الْأَدْبَارَ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُونَ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. That if the disbelievers fought you, they would have turned their backs to you, and they would not have had any divine help or support. سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. Allah says, this is the sunnah of Allah. This is the way of Allah in all the people that have come before you. And you will not find a change in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Taymiyyah speaks about this verse. And he comments. And he says this verse means that Allah has a sunnah. He has a way, a method in His creation. And in this sunnah is the promise of victory to the believers. However, this promise of victory is when the believers uphold their duties and their responsibilities in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by resisting their enemy, by standing up for the truth. The promise of Allah is not unconditional. It requires from us roles and duties and obligations and responsibilities. Our ummah today is in a long war. Not a war that started a little over a month ago. Palestine is a reminder. It's a reminder of the colonialism that has shaped and controlled not only Palestine, but almost every part of the Muslim world. It's a reminder that this ummah has enemies. Not only those who have the main goal or those who have a goal of supporting Jewish people or even dispossessing the Palestinian people, but people who have a goal to destabilize the Muslim world and to control their resources. Something that once again extends past Palestine. It's a reminder of the disunity that plagues our ummah. That even when 2 billion of us agree that there is a massive injustice happening to the Palestinian people, we can't even mobilize enough to give them a glass of water to drink. We see the results of this war today. We see the bombs raining upon Gaza. We see the videos of children crying in the streets. We see the men stripped and marched towards a mass grave. And we see the powers of this world shrug their shoulders or even cheer these atrocities. But it's important for us to note that before the land was occupied, before any land could be stolen, before any homes could be bulldozed, before any olive trees could be uprooted, before the bombs fell, before hunger and thirst were used as weapons of war, before all of this could happen, there was a different war that had already started. The war of falsehood, the war of propaganda, And this is a war that extends to this day and every single day in between them. Yesterday, Israel killed in a targeted airstrike a professor in Gaza, Rifat Al-Arid, a professor in literature. He was a writer and a poet, and he spoke often about the plight of Palestinians. And I listened to a class of his. He was teaching a class in the university. And he spoke in this clip about how, subhanAllah, we are always surprised when Israel will kill a Palestinian writer or poet. This is something that Israel has done for many, many years to many, many writers and poets. And subhanAllah, he's talking about this, and eventually it would happen to him. And he said, we're always surprised. We say, can you believe they killed someone and all they did was write poems? Why would Israel arrest someone and put them under house arrest? And she only wrote a poem. He said, we are saying this, but we shouldn't be surprised. He said, the Israeli general, Moshe Dayan, he said, the poems of one of the Palestinian poets, he said, her poems are worse than 20 fighters. He continued and he said, don't forget that Palestine was first and foremost occupied in Zionist literature and poetry. When Zionists thought about going to Palestine, it took them 50 years of planning, of politics, of money. But literature played a very important role. Palestine was presented to the Jewish people as a land without people, for a people without a land. That Palestine was the land of milk and honey. That there's no one there, so let's go. But there were people there. There have always been people there. Before the brutal violence that we see today, there was the violence of propaganda. The wars of propaganda. Propaganda that lied to Jewish people even, telling them this is a land without people. Come and take this land and live in it. Propaganda that lied to the world, that continues to lie to the world, that tells them that the Palestinians didn't even live in this land, and they only came when they saw Jews are here. They're only motivated by hatred of Jews, as though they were not dispossessed from the homes they were living in for thousands of years. This is the war of propaganda. Violence, physical violence, happens in spurts. Physical wars, they begin and then they end. But the propaganda war is unrelenting. It continues day after day. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first sent revelation to His final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Jibreel alayhi salam came to that mountain, to that cave, and he revealed the first words of the Quran, اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم. Read, and your Lord is the most honorable, the most noble, the one who created the pen. The idea of the pen, of reading, of knowledge, of voice, the speech of the human being, comes up over and over throughout the Quran. Allah mentions His mercy, the mercy of His nature, the mercy of sending us the Qur'an. Ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, allamahu al-bayan. He created mankind and He taught them eloquence. He taught them speech. He taught them communication, the ability to intelligently express ourselves through speech. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ. Did we not give Him two eyes and a tongue and two lips? He reminds us of the amazing power that He's given us, including the power of speech. Today, more than any other day, we should understand the power of speech, the power of a good argument, the power of spreading the truth. We live in a world where they are fighting over access to media. People spend billions of dollars in this regard. The world powers understand the battle over the minds of the people, the information they are exposed to, the arguments that are positioned in front of them, is the most important battlefield. The ability to control narrative, to shape perspective. This is a massive industry filled of media experts and journalists, filled with lobbyists and politicians. They fight over phrasing, over positioning, meaning they're fighting over words, how we frame words, because the way we frame an argument shapes the way we understand it and we think about it. We see it in the way that they try to police our words. They tell you if you say free Palestine, or from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. They don't just say you're anti-Semitic for saying this. They say you're advocating for a genocide. But we know the ruling party in Israel, the Likud party, Benjamin Netanyahu's party, in their charter, it says, from the river to the sea, there will only be Israeli sovereignty. They don't call that anti-Semitic or anti-Arab. They don't say that is a call for genocide. We can see the hypocrisy, you and I can see it. But the motive is to control our words, because words are very powerful in how we see reality. We see it in every interview they have. They bring a Palestinian or a pro-Palestinian person, and the first question they ask them, do you condemn Hamas? There's a reason for that. It's called framing. You're framing the conversation. You're creating the parameters of the discussion. You make the viewer think that everything started with Hamas, and that everything was fine before Hamas, and everything will be fine after them, which we all know is a lie. But the viewer, who's unsuspecting, who lacks knowledge, to them, they wouldn't know this. To them, this framing is powerful. This is the battle. And let's be honest, we can't be with the people of Gaza right now. We can't help their children. We can't protect their weak. We can't even get food and aid to them. We watch the videos and we feel helpless. But one of the most important things that we can do for them is to learn to argue on their behalf. To learn to say the truth on their behalf. And this idea, this concept, the struggle using your tongue, the struggle of saying the truth, in our religion, we would call it jihad al-lisan. The struggle of our tongues. And in today's vernacular, they call it the narrative war, the information war. This is incredibly important. Why have the lives of Palestinians become so easy for people to dismiss? It's because of a constant stream of dehumanizing propaganda, and Western elites have swallowed it whole. Responding to falsehood with truth is one of the most important forms of jihad that a Muslim can do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells our Prophet, فَلَا تُطْعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدُهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Allah says, do not obey the disbelievers and struggle, do jihad against them with it. Now what is the it here? وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ. What is Allah referring to? What is the it here? It's the Qur'an. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling our Prophet, use the Qur'an to struggle. Use the Qur'an to fight falsehood with the truth. Use the truth that is revealed in this Qur'an to struggle against the falsehood that is being said. Meaning Allah is telling our Prophet to do what? To argue. To use his tongue. To say the truth. And Allah calls this jihadan kabira, the great jihad. Imam al-Qurtubi, he says, la futura fi, that this kind of jihad has no letdown. You know, a physical battle has a beginning and an end. And usually they're short in time. But this kind of jihad continues forever. There's no letdown in saying the truth against the arguments of falsehood. Now I know some of you are squirming in your seats right now. Some of you are saying, why is he using that word? Why is he saying the J word? Some of you might be thinking, next week I'm going to choose a different masjid. But isn't that the point? Isn't that the point? A word that is part of our own religion, that is in our own Quran, because of propaganda for the past few decades, we're afraid of even using it. We're afraid of even saying it. Yes, because there are extremists who use the word jihad to justify evil things that they did. But also the Western world, for thousands of years, have considered you and I to be barbarians. And that's affected how they see our religion. We have to reclaim our voice, reclaim our language, reclaim our words, and speak the truth. So I will use the word jihad, as it was used by Allah and His Messenger. The Prophet ﷺ said, جَاهِدُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ بِأَيْدِيكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. He said, fight against the polytheists, struggle against the polytheists, he meant Quraysh, with yourselves, your souls, with your wealth, and with your tongues. Use your tongues. The Prophet ﷺ built a minbar in his masjid. Just like this, a minbar in the masjid, he built it. But it wasn't built to give the khutbah, that was a different minbar. It wasn't built to teach classes, it wasn't built to teach the Qur'an, it was built for a purpose. For Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet, who was a poet. He built it so that he would say poetry. And in his poetry, he would respond to the propaganda of Quraysh and respond using the truth. The Prophet ﷺ would say to Hassan, هَاجِمْهُمْ وَجِبْرِيلْ مَعَكْ. Strike against them and Jibreel is with you. He would say, أَجِبْ عَنِّي. He would tell Hassan, respond on my behalf. Say poetry responding on my behalf. وَرُوحُ الْقُدُسِ يُؤَيِّدَكْ. And indeed, Jibreel alayhi salam will be supporting you. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam during Umrah al-Qadha, he comes into Masjid al-Haram, and Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu an is saying words of poetry, and he's responding to the propaganda of Quraysh. And Umar bin Khattab, he says, Ibn Rawaha, he says, what are you doing? بين يدي رسول الله وفي حرم الله وتقول الشعر. He says, you're between the hands of the Prophet, you're in the company of the Prophet, in the masjid of Allah in the Haram, and you're saying poetry? He's saying, this is a time of seriousness. This is a time of ibadah. Why are you saying poetry right now? And the Prophet ﷺ said, خلي عنه. He said, leave him alone. He tells Umar, leave him alone. For indeed, what he is saying is more swift against them than a barrage of arrows. If you threw arrows at the enemy, it would be less than the words of poetry that Abdullah bin Rawaha was saying. He's saying responding to the narratives of the mushrikun was the most important form of the struggle. And in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, poetry was one of the main ways in which narratives were formed and popularized. Today, poetry and literature are still very important. Perhaps much more important than we tend to think. But so too is news media. So too are journalists and social media influencers and opinion writers and columnists. Ibn Hazm rahimahullah ta'ala, he says in Kitab al-Ahkam, very powerful phrase, he says, وَلَا غَيْضَ أَغْيَضَ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ وَالْمُبْطِلِينَ مِنْ هَتْكِ أَقْوَالِهِمْ بِالْحُجَّةِ الصَّادِمَةِ. He said, there is nothing that enrages the disbelievers and the invalidators of the truth than casting a clear argument against their statements. وَقَدْ تُهْزَمِ الْعَسَاكِرِ الْكِبَارِ والحجة الصحيحة لا تغلب أبدا، فهي أدعى إلى الحق وأنصر للدين من السلاح الشاكي والأعداد الجمة.
He said, indeed the great soldiers who fight on the battlefield, the great warriors, they may be defeated, but the true statement will never be defeated. And it is far more supportive of the religion than the sharp weapons or the big army. And this is something that should give us hope. Because I know a lot of people are going to feel like, what's the point? I know a lot of people are thinking to themselves, even as I'm talking, but they have more money than us and more resources than us. And they can throw it into this. They can have almost all of CNN and BBC, even in Canada. Many journalists wrote anonymously to say that CTV News has banned them from saying the word Palestine. That they refuse to bring any Palestinian or pro-Palestinian person to provide analysis. The only time they bring a Palestinian on television is for them to cry. We're sad. But to give analysis over what's happening, to understand the conflict? No. That's only for Israeli military analysts. So you look at that and you feel like the cards are stacked against us. And in a way it's true. But in a way it's not true. Because we have yet to mobilize as a community. They've been doing this for over 100 years. We haven't even started. And falsehood only works when the truth is silent. But once we start to assume our responsibility to speak the truth, once we start actually rising up and saying the words of truth, once it's not just one person or two people doing it, but many people who are doing it, you will see what happens to falsehood. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُقًا. Allah says, say indeed the truth has come and falsehood has vanished, because falsehood is a vanishing thing. The nature of falsehood is that it cannot confront the truth. It will fall apart. بَلْ نَقْذِفُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ فَيَدْمَغُهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ زَاهِقٌ. Allah says, we cast the truth upon falsehood and it will destroy it and it will depart. That's the nature of falsehood. And we're seeing it today. They spend so much money to propagate disinformation about the Palestinian people, and a bunch of kids on social media are taking them down. A bunch of kids on social media with their TikToks are taking down, wrestling down, a $1 billion effort against them. Because the nature of falsehood is that when it's confronted with the truth, it falls apart. Somebody might say, but they influence politics way more than we can. Even if 71% of Canadians want a ceasefire, which is the case, the politicians, especially the ones with power, they will not call for it. So they say, look, it doesn't matter if you can even convince the average Joe that there should be a ceasefire. The powerful people don't care. And here I want you to think about apartheid South Africa. The reason apartheid South Africa fell is because it was too expensive to maintain. Upholding falsehood requires a lot of money. And you might say they have a lot of money, but money is a finite resource. Eventually, you don't have enough money. Every time you say the truth, they have to spend money to counteract the truth. And their money will not go very far if, and this is a big if you and I don't give up. If you and I don't give up, if we keep saying the truth over and over, louder and louder, eventually their money will be worthless. Don't believe me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you. إن الذين كفروا ينفقون أموالهم ليصدوا عن سبيل الله فسينفقونها ثم تكون عليهم حسرة ثم يغلبون. Allah says the disbelievers will spend their wealth to avert people away from the way of Allah, and they will spend it, and it will be a source of regret for them, and they will lose. Another person might say, but brother, they will never believe us. They will never see you and I as being a human being. And this is a defeatist mentality. Even if all of them don't care about Muslims, which isn't true, Some of them do care about Muslims. But let's assume not a single one of them care about Muslims. Not all of them agree on what is happening. Even some of the people who come out and they say Israel has a right to defend itself while it's bombing little kids, even some of those people who are saying those words, in their hearts, they don't believe that this is right. تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. Allah says, you think they are united and their hearts are apart. But still, let's assume that you are right and I'm wrong. Let's assume no matter what we say and do, they will never change. We still have to use our voice for the truth. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرْ فَلْيُغَيِّرُهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. The Prophet ﷺ says, if any of you see an evil, you must change it with your hand. If you are not capable, if you do not have the authority to do so, then with your tongue. And if you're not capable of doing even that, then hating it in your heart, and that is the weakest of faith. Or I remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us the example in the Qur'an of Ashab al-Sabt, of the people who were breaking the Sabbath, and they were casting out the nets to catch the fish on the day of the Sabbath when they were not supposed to be fishing. And the righteous people amongst them warned them. They used their tongue to tell them what you are doing is wrong. And another group came to them and they said, لِمَ تَعِذُونَ قَوْمًا اللَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَمْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. Another group said, you're wasting your time. These people who are casting their nets, they don't care. You're wasting your time. Allah for sure is going to punish them. Why are you even talking to them? Why are you even telling them to stop? What did those people say in response? قَالُوا مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. He said, this is our excuse in front of your Lord. And maybe they will have taqwa. Maybe they will have taqwa, but this is our excuse in front of Allah. What is your excuse in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When the bombs are falling in Gaza, what is your excuse in front of Allah azza wa jal? So our using our tongue to say the truth, this is at least the excuse we can use in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Muslims, we are focused on the effort, not the result. The result is out of our hands. But our focus is on the effort. We tried. Now I want to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about jihad, He says, وَاعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مُسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Prepare for them what you can. Jihad requires preparation. And this is true for the jihad of the tongue. They prepare for this. They have manuals. They have trainings. They visit politicians hundreds of times. I've heard politicians say, not a single person has come to me to talk to me about Palestine in their career. And yet they've been visited hundreds of times by pro-Israeli groups. We don't speak up enough. And sometimes the reason we don't do it is because we don't educate ourselves enough about this issue to be able to speak to it. And so we have to gain knowledge. العلم قبل القول والعمل. Knowledge precedes speech and action. But if you can't, if you feel like you do not have the eloquence to be the one speaking about it, you still have a role to play. You can share, you can retweet and repost. Every time you like and you spread the truth, they have to spend money to spread falsehood. There's a reason why they sent people to TikTok, begging TikTok to take down Palestinian content. There's a reason why they boycotted Elon Musk until he went to Israel, and now he's trying to change his algorithm to support Israel. Because what you're doing is working. Because when you like these things and you retweet these things, it has an effect. They're not doing it because your effort is useless. They're doing it because your effort is working. So do not belittle your efforts. Keep trying to do more. And I know some of you are afraid. Afraid of losing your job, you're afraid of this and that. And I remind you, the Prophet ﷺ said that the afdal al-jihad, the best form of jihad, kalimat al-haq عند سلطان الجابر, to say the truth in front of an oppressive tyrant. They're trying to make people lose their jobs to create a culture of fear to make us be quiet. Because if we speak, their falsehood is going to vanish. So keep speaking. Don't go on a rant. Educate yourself. Say things that are facts, that are confirmed, that nobody can refute it. That if they try to attack you, you have the facts on your side. Don't just go on a rant. Yes, educate yourself, but speak. You have to speak. This is a war that all of us are implicated in. And the only thing that is going to free us is to say the truth. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لِي وَلَكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ